from Ephesians 6, but the other passages are background passages. Now, there should be an outline on the back of the order of service that will help you as we go through this. So this is actually the fourth of a series of six sermons on God's design for marriage and family, and today we're looking at children in particular. You could say it's one big children's talk for all of us. So in the context, this passage comes in the context of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And how do we do that in a family setting, in family relationships? So we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land." So the divine pattern for family, and particularly for children. Now we read Mark chapter 7, where the Pharisees refer, or Jesus refers the Pharisees to the fifth commandment, that we are to honour our parents. As children, that's shown by willingly and cheerfully doing the chores that are given us, and by following rather than battling against the boundaries that are set. But as adult children, it also incorporates the sense of caring for our elderly parents. So I ask you, when are things happiest at your home? When is there peace and harmony? Surely it's when everybody in the family is doing the right thing and obeying all the rules. It's when mum and dad are in agreement with each other and the children are obeying without cheek and without backtalk. It's the time when mum and dad can ask the children to do something and there's a willing, "Sure, mum, absolutely, dad," without the usual, "Oh, do I have to?" under the breath. Now, Proverbs calls that kind of attitude the eye that mocks a father and scorns obedience to a mother. Proverbs 30, verse 17. It's when the children realise that mum and dad love us and give us rules and boundaries for our well-being. Things are happiest in our homes when we as a family live by God's ways. And as we find in our text, children are called to obey and to honour their parents, and parents are to have a clear biblical discipline and training structure for their children. So in the context of the foundational principle of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, we're considering how we do that in family relationships. Now previously we considered how parents, and particularly fathers, submit to their children in a family relationship. But it's not by giving up their role or their authority, their God-appointed authority, but it is by training up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So today we'll consider the submission of children to their parents by obeying them and honouring them in the Lord. And we'll consider it under two main points, the command and then the reason. So first of all, we consider the command. The command is, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Now the word "children" here doesn't mean babies and infants. It's different to the word that is used in Mark 10:13 when infants were brought to Jesus. It refers to really any offspring, anyone born of parents and still living under their authority. This means that it applies to any child living at home, regardless of their age. Now you may remember last time we considered that as children grow older, parents have to let go more. Even so, if you're living at home with your parents, you're under their roof. You're under their authority to some extent within the context of your age and your responsibilities. But this command still applies in that context. So children, all of you who live at home under their authority, obey your parents. To obey means to line up under someone else's authority out of duty. It's to hear, to listen, to place yourself under mum and dad's authority. Now the word used in the Bible in this way is used for children, for slaves, for soldiers, and for servants. And it emphasizes a yielding of the will to authority. So to obey is an act of the will. Now, this concept's very important. We live in times and a society that seeks to minimise the family, a society that clamours that children be liberated, in particular liberated from their parents. And increasingly, it seems that parents are promoted as negative forces in their child's life. But do not be deceived. God created the family, and the devil is out to destroy his work. So in some schools, children are encouraged not to tell their parents what they're learning at school. In some schools, parents are considered to be a hindrance to their child's learning. And in some states, a parent can be fined or jailed if they do not support their child to have a gender change transition. It's called conversion therapy. In some states, discouragement of such therapy is now a criminal offence. New South Wales Health says, for instance, that minors with sufficient maturity and intelligence to fully understand a procedure or treatment proposed have the capacity to consent. It's called Gillick competence. In real terms, it means that a child, 14 years or older, can determine their own health care with all its consequences. If two doctors agree, that can include having an abortion without parental consent. If two doctors agree, the abortion can go ahead without parental consent or even notification. A 14-year-old. They can't vote, they can't drive, they can't drink alcohol, but they can make life-altering, even deathly decisions. In some cases, decisions concerning the health and well-being of our children is now being made by health authorities. But the point is this: there is a mindset in some parts of society that sees parents as a negative force in a child's life, and increasingly so if those parents are Christian. In some quarters, parents are considered to be irrelevant, restrictive, and a hindrance. But let's understand this. Our children do not need to be liberated from the authority of their parents. The Bible says that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, that God gave the responsibility of children primarily to parents. Children are to be under authority and the protection of their parents. That's God's design. That's the way He designed for the family to function, and His ways are the best. So parents are to put a boundary, a hedge of protection around their children. In their foolishness, until they become mature, until they are able to make good decisions on their own. And that's our goal. Our children don't know any better. They're inclined to foolishness. They're inclined to disobedience. As Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Now, you may also remember last time when we looked at fathers, we considered that our children need to be trained up in righteousness. They need training. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have a tremendous opportunity to witness to our secular society, showing the better ways of the Lord by following His precepts, by living by His design for families, for discipline and order in our families, showing to our community that God's ways are actually the best ways. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Apostle Paul continues, honour your father and your mother. So whilst obedience is an act of the will, now Paul is calling them to an honourable attitude. Children, honour your father and mother. So honour our parents, there are two aspects to it. One aspect is to hold our parents in the highest esteem, to value them greatly, to acknowledge the place that God has given them to be in authority over children, to love and respect our parents because they're our parents. Sadly, a lot of this respect has been lost today. Under the influence of Dr. Spock all those years ago, many children treat parents with contempt. Why should I listen to you, they say. You can't tell me what to do. I have rights. And this bad example is set out and portrayed in the attitudes in many a movie and TV show, including ones intended for children. But God calls us to a different attitude, that is, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, submit to your parents by obeying and honouring them in the Lord. So drawing attention to or mocking your parents' mistakes, rattling the skeletons in their closet, is a power game. It's not an honouring attitude. It's not, look at what you've done. We've got to say, look at what Christ has done. Let us follow Christ together. We're not to treat our parents as cretins or imbeciles, having cruel jokes at their expense, even when they're old and becoming senile. When dementia sets in, even more should we honour them and hold them in high esteem. Always, always treat mum and dad with respect and honour, for that's the place that God has given them. There's a well-known, and you've probably heard it before, story of Mark Twain. Good stories can always be told again, but apparently he left home at 16 and he couldn't understand how ignorant his father was. When he returned home again at 20, he was amazed how much his father had learned over that time. So if we as children love Jesus, then we as children can please Jesus by obeying and honouring our parents and respecting them. The biblical truth is, in dishonouring and disobeying our parents, we are really disobeying and dishonouring Christ. Jesus chose our parents for us. He placed us in our homes. He died on the cross for our parents. He gave them new life by the Holy Spirit. And part of that new life for us is to obey and honour our parents. Secondly, to honour our parents includes the idea of supporting and caring for them. And we find this truth taught by Jesus in Mark 7, which Matthew read for us. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they challenged him. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders and do not wash their hands before they eat? You remember what Jesus said, but why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Moses said, honour your father and your mother. Whoever curses his father and mother should be put to death. The scribes and Pharisees had a tradition called Korban. They would set aside an amount of money and they gifted it and dedicated it to the Lord. In so doing, they tied up the money as a gift and so neglected to care for their mothers and fathers. They'd say, sorry, mum, sorry, dad, this money is for the Lord. I can't help you. Now, Jesus links this commandment to honour your father and mother with caring for them. In 1 Timothy 5, the Apostle Paul teaches that if anyone does not provide for his relatives, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So our widows should not feel lonely and unimportant. Our elderly should not be treated as a hindrance or an inconvenience. They should not feel forgotten. Our ageing parents should not feel that they are useless and on the scrap heap, though that's the way the world would make them feel in its push for euthanasia. They've outlived their relevance, their contribution, so they should die. How irreverent, how dishonouring, both to them and to their Creator. How easy it is to be caught up in life and in making a living that we forget to honour our parents. Next week turns into next month, which turns into next year. And we can come up with all sorts of hurts and excuses, but we're called by God to honour and care for our parents, to hold them in the highest esteem, not because they've earned our respect, not because they've earned our love, rather simply because that's the position that God has given them. But what if they have not been great parents? Or what if they've even been abusive parents? How can I honour them, you ask? They've hurt me so much. They don't deserve my respect. Well, it's not because they deserve or have earned it. It's simply because that's the place that God has put them in. Parents have a place of honour as parents, because that's their position. As a Christian, when you honour and respect your parents, you never know, God may use it as a means to transform their lives. When you give unconditional love and respect for the God-given place of your parents, maybe God will, through that, bring healing and restoration. Look at your mum and your dad, the parents that God gave you in grace and love. Stop looking at their faults and what they're not giving you. Rather than imposing your expectations on them, give them love and honour. You may find you have a whole new relationship. After all, it's not about you. It's about Christ. Even when it comes to your parents and their failings and their shortcomings, it's about Christ. Because the bottom line is this: Jesus said that we're to love even our enemies. That's what God the Father did for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love in this, that while we were still sinners," and then a bit further on it says, "while we were still enemies in sin, Christ died for us." So God didn't love us because we were lovable. He loved us even when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were hurting him deeply in his Father's heart. He didn't say, "I'm going to treat you the way you've treated me." He came to us and he said, "I'm going to reclaim you. You are my child. You are mine. I'm going to adopt you, and by officially making a commitment to your eternal destiny, you are precious to me." So let's treat our parents the way God our Father has treated us, in love and forgiveness. He honoured us and called us to himself in Christ. So there's absolutely no excuse not to be loving and honouring our parents before God. There's no excuse for harbouring bitterness and grudges. As God the Father has loved you in Christ, you and I must love and honour our parents, whatever the circumstances. Of course, that's all very negative. We can praise God for those families who do honour and care for their ageing parents and grandparents. Praise God who is honoured by those children who gladden their parents' hearts, how they provide love and meaning and acceptance to their parents, even when their bodies are failing and their minds are going. We can praise God for families, for parents who feel frail and struggle to get through every day and yet know that they're loved, honoured and cherished. And what a beautiful blessing of God their children are to them. And that's the biblical pattern. Children, honour your father and your mother. Just let me help my voice here for a sec. Now the reason. Why should we obey and honour our parents? And Paul gives two reasons. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Then he says, "Honour your father and mother that it may go well with you." So the first reason is, for this is right. In essence, just as he did with husbands and wives, he's linking it back to creation and to the natural order of things. This is right means that it's good and essential in and of itself. For children to obey and honour their parents is part of nature, it's part of creation. In fact, we even observe this in the animal kingdom, in creation generally. Parents care for their young. They feed them, they protect them, they teach them life and survival skills. The young eagle is pushed out of the nest, and the parent flies underneath it with outstretched wings and catches it until that young eagle can learn to fly by itself. Even the wisdom of the world recognises this fact. The International Convention on the Rights of the Child states that children need care and protection. So discipline, order and protection are needed. Without discipline and order, there's only chaos. And that's really why the famous Dr. Spock's child-centred rearing philosophy failed. He made training child-centred, and parents became afraid of saying no to their children, and we're still feeling and reaping that today. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The second reason Paul gives is that it's God's command. Children, obey and honour your parents because it's God's command. Paul links the call to honour parents to the moral law of the fifth commandment, which he says is the first commandment with a promise. Immediately after the four commandments dealing with our relationship with God comes the fifth with a promise. That means it's got special significance. The special significance is that it's the key to all other relationships. It's been said that how can a child hear the voice of the Heavenly Father if they've never learnt to hear the voice of their own father? Honour and obedience in the home is foundational to society. A child who obeys and honours his parents in the home has the ability to make relationships work on any other level. The fifth commandment is the key to a functional society. Without obedience, honour is only chaos in society. In other words, a breakdown in the family brings a breakdown in society. And don't we see that at work in our society today? We see this in Romans 1:18-31, which Matthew read, where the Apostle Paul gives a description of the world in utter lawlessness at the time Jesus came into the world. And Paul is making an observation about the world around him. So we read, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, and so on. Note that disobedience to parents is part of the list of godlessness. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and that's the passage that I read at the start, where he says in the last days it would be rife with godlessness. Perilous and difficult times were coming. And he says people would be lovers of themselves. We call that individualism. Lovers of money, materialism. Lovers of pleasure, hedonism. And then he lists the characteristics. And he says they will be proud, arrogant, abusive, again, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and so the list continues of what a godless society's characteristics are. And in this list, disobedience to parents. So in times of apostasy, godlessness and irreligion, one of the most striking characteristics of lawlessness is disobedience to parents. That is the breakdown of the family, exactly what we see today. We see the fundamental importance that God puts on the family, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old. In Exodus 21:17, the Lord rules, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. And Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns obedience to a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. In Old Testament times, it was utter humiliation to leave bodies fallen in war to be eaten by the birds. It's a picture of severe judgment. So God takes parenting in the family very seriously. It's not a matter of choice. It's one of following his design, so that we may enjoy the blessing of his better way. The fifth commandment is of fundamental importance. All human relationships in a person's life are formed and shaped by what he learns in the home. If there's no honour and obedience in the home, there'll be no honour and obedience in society. Again, look around us today. Let me make a further application here. If we as teachers, mentors, even elders, undermine a child or even an adult's respect and honour of their parents, or perhaps it's the other parent in the case of husbands and wives, who are we really undermining? It's God's command. We are working against God. But see, also there is a promise that it may go well with you. To obey your parents in the Lord is to bring blessing and peace in life. that you may enjoy a long life, or at least not a life cut prematurely short, humanly speaking. Guilt and bitterness, tension and anxiety, they all bring sickness and exhaustion. Remember, Jesus said, "Who of you by being anxious can add 1 hour to his life?" Well, it doesn't. Rather, it will actually shorten it, most likely. Good, healthy and harmonious relationships bring good health, stamina, and they also don't consume the energy that bad relationships do. To live with a clear conscience, being obedient to God's commands, brings rewards as we live here on earth. It also points to the rewards of heaven as we enjoy the benefits here of being saved and living in God's ways as his redeemed people. Which brings us to the last reason why children should obey and honour their parents, and that is in the Lord. It's for the Lord's sake. It's for the Lord's glory. Colossians 3:20 puts it this way, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this pleases God." Let me put in an exception clause here. We do live in a broken, sinful and corrupt world, and there may be times that in order to please God, and that's the key to the exception, we need to disobey our parents. If they instruct us or ask us to do something that is clearly against God's will, we have to respectfully follow the Lord. For example, if your parents pull you into their hate and bitterness, especially in the case of adult children, we need to respectfully not join them and say, "Sorry, Mum and Dad, we're not going in there in this conversation. You need to work this out with God." Or if a parent is drawing a child into an abusive or an inappropriate relationship, they need to say, "No, stop, this is not right," and seek help. But that's the exception. Let's not fall into the error of making the exception the rule. The biblical principle stands firm. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, so that we can bring great pleasure to your Father in heaven. It brings great pleasure when we live in obedience to him. God has sent Jesus into the world to redeem us, to wash away our sins, and to give us new life in the Holy Spirit. God delights to see his children displaying his character in their lives, obedience and honour, with close functional relationships. How it gives God pleasure when we, as parents and children, reflect in our relationship the Lord's relationship with us as our Heavenly Father. Furthermore, consider the relationship between the Heavenly Father and Jesus. Remember, Jesus came into the world to do his Father's will. He was perfectly obedient to his Father. He honoured his Father. Consider also the relationship of Jesus and his earthly parents. In Luke 2 and 51, Joseph and Mary came looking for Jesus at the temple. Jesus went with them, and it says, and was obedient to them. Is that not the aim of the Christian, to be like Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour? Are we not to conform to his image, to follow the pattern he set for us? We live in the love of God, our Heavenly Father. We live in the freedom that he's bought for us in Christ. Let's live as families by God's design for family, bringing renewal and blessing to our society, bringing peace and harmony in our homes, and bringing pleasure to our Lord as we honour and obey our fathers and our mothers and him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, the fifth commandment is simple and yet profound. Father, we thank you for the gift of families. We thank you for your design of Mum and Dad, that out of their love together and a love commitment for life in marriage comes children. Then comes the pattern of bringing them up, changing them from foolishness and disobedience into mature, independent adults, contributing to society, their family, and a credit to those things. That takes thought, it takes strategy, it takes effort. Yet what wonderful rewards there are when children grow up and say, "Now I know what you're talking about. Now I understand why you said and did the things that you said and did for us." What higher compliment could we get when children say of us, "We want a marriage that we see with you and Mum"? Of course, that's only by grace. It's only by your work that overrules our sinful desires and tendencies. What a pleasure it can be to be a parent. Father, we thank you for those families whose adult children are caring for their aging parents, returning something for them for what they've been given. Lord, we live in a time where we so readily put them away in a home, and at times that's appropriate when we can no longer care for them physically, medically, but convict us in our hearts to continue to make effort. For those of us who live with regrets, we come before your throne of grace and seek your forgiveness. The things that we wish we'd have done better, the things we know we failed to do, we come before you, our Heavenly Father, and say, "Lord, forgive us and help us to do the best that we can with who we are and by your grace." And even now, let not the evil one rattle the skeletons in our closet that we live in fear. We become paralyzed when our children say to us, "But you did this or that." Give us the wisdom to say, "Sadly, that's true. And I've sought forgiveness from the Lord. It's been forgiven. Now let's look for Christ, because he's our example." Father, we pray for our children. We pray for your protection over them. We pray that you would be near to them as they explore life and they can make such foolish decisions. We are thankful for the children that have grown up, that are now having families of their own, and we may enjoy the season of grandchildren. How delightful that is, and yet so many families are broken, families that can't even enjoy that, as their children forbid grandchildren from their grandparents. How sad that is. May your love and your healing flow into our households, that you may take pleasure in the honour of families. For those of us, Lord, to whom you have not given this gift, and who are often just spectators, may our families seek to include singles, widows and widowers. May they make the effort to engage with and participate in families. Over the years, we've had wonderful single friends who became a part of our family. They not only loved us, but also our children. We enjoyed having them in our home and sharing life with them. We pray that our culture of selfishness and individualism, a culture that puts people into people groups, may not unduly influence us, so that we're no longer living biblically. For those elderly people who don't have families, or who don't have families nearby and they feel alone, may you meet the needs of their hearts. May they feel your presence and know your love as their Heavenly Father and be comforted. All these things we bring before you and ask that you would hear our prayers and be gracious to us. In your name we pray. Amen.